Hi, I'm Daniel Lekiz.
And this is Mick, the Doctor of Digital.
And welcome to Music 101. Music 101 is created to empower music, music itself, and legendary icon in the music industry. Inherited Melodies, a Father's Day playlist for men who shape our world.
Yes, indeed. So great and appropriate for today, of course, you know, because some songs don't just remind you of someone. You become that kid again the moment the first chord hits. This week's episode is a Father's Day playlist, not just songs we played in the house or the car, but songs that help understand the man we still miss every day. Maybe some of these tunes remind you of your old man. From Ian Hunter to old standards to AM radio gold, this episode's not just about nostalgia, it's about presence. And about what's left unsaid, about what music carries when words fall short, and what song takes you back to your dad or the man who helped shape you. Drop it below. Of course, we'd love to hear the stories behind your soundtrack. In conclusion, if this episode hits home, consider subscribing. There's more where this came from.
Indeed. People, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. This episode is dedicated for you. So, Mr. Mick, how can we introduce the topic of unconfirmable songs and tangled memories about Father's Day?
Like so many of you, a son still wrestling with the shadow of a father, today's episode has been simmering in the heart for years, like a song you hum but can't quite name. We're diving into something heavy, something tender. Fathers, the ones we knew, the ones we lost, the ones we're still trying to understand. We're calling this episode with a specific title because sometimes music holds onto the things our hearts forget, especially when it comes to dads. There's a reason certain songs stop us cold, pulling us back to moments we didn't even know we'd buried. A lyric, a chord, a memory, they hit like a freight train, and suddenly we're kids again, waiting for a word, a look, a hand on the shoulder. Stick with us for the complete episode, and I promise you, by the end, you'll have a fuller understanding of why songs about fathers still cut so deep, and how you can use that ache in your writing, storytelling, and healing. In conclusion, we're not just reminiscing here, we're unearthing treasure.
Yes, well said, Mr. Mick, and what is the sound of a father's silence?
When you close your eyes and think of your father, what sound do you hear? Is it the crack of a belt, sharp as a whip in the quiet of a child at home, the shuffle of work boots at 5 a.m., fading down the driveway before the sun's up? Or maybe it's the silence, the kind that swallows everything he couldn't say, like a radio tuned to static. The sound of my father is the rumbling of the V8 engine in the 1957 Buick Special as my dad came home from work in my parents' first new car. Johnny Cash once sang something that's not in any liner notes but lives in the marrow of his music. He was always there, somewhere, but never where you needed him. It's a paraphrase, sure, but it's the ghost in the songs like A Boy Named Sue or Man in Black. Cash didn't write about fathers so much as he wrote about the ache of being one, or trying to be, or never having one in the right way. His voice carried the weight of a cotton farmer's son, scarred by a dad who was tough as barbed wire and twice as hard to hold. That silence, the kind that lingers when the father doesn't speak his heart, has a shape, a weight, a resonance. It's not just a void, it's a presence that echoes into the next generation. If your dad never said, "I'm proud of you," you might be still chasing those words, even if he's long gone. You might hear them in the creak of a porch swing or the hum of a car engine, but they're never quite there. I've coached writers who start their memoirs thinking they're writing about their careers, their art, their big dreams, but 10 pages in, they're face to face with dad. His voice, his absence, his unreachable approval. That's the power of a father's silence. It roars louder than any words he might have spoken. So if your father's silence has shaped you, don't run from it, write into it. In conclusion, there's treasure buried beneath the hush, stories, truths, maybe even forgiveness.
Mr. Mick, can we create a playlist of paternity?
Let's build a playlist, a sonic scaffolding for all the father-hungry kids out there. I'd like to think that for 3.5 years, our daughter, between the ages of 5 and 8, missed me when she was taken from our home. This is a story I wrote about in Burning America in the Best Interests of the Children. The playlist songs aren't just hits or non-hits. They're hymns for the fatherless, anthems for the sons and daughters still searching. These songs aren't just music, they're mirrors. They reflect the ache we carry, the questions we ask. Did he love me? Did I fail him? Can I forgive him? Each song tells a piece of the story, not just of fathers, but of the hunger for affirmation, belonging, and closure. We can start the lineup, Father and Son by Cat Stevens, 1970. A soft-spoken argument in melody, a father and son talking past each other, neither quite hearing. Father and Son is a generational standoff. The father saying, "You're still young, that's your fault," while the son replies, "From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen." It's resignation and melody, a statement set to music. Call Him Father by the Winstons, 1969, a soulful tribute to a father who stepped up, proving love isn't always blood. Color Him Father flips the script, celebrating a man who chooses to love seven children, not his own, proving fatherhood is an act, not just a title. Papa Was a Rolling Stone by the Temptations, 1972. That opening line, "It was the 3rd of September, the day I'll always remember," cuts like a blade through the tragedy of an absent father. Papa Was a Rolling Stone is the opposite of the Winstons, a eulogy for an actual man who is more scamp than father, leaving his kids to piece together his life from rumors. My Father's Eyes by Eric Clapton, 1998. A latecomer, but it carries the weight of a man grieving a father he never knew and a son he lost too soon. And Clapton's My Father's Eyes layers grief upon sorrow, a man mourning both the father he never met and the son he couldn't save. That Silver-Haired Daddy of Mine, Gene Autry, 1931, covered endlessly in the 1950s, a cowboy's ode to regret and redemption. The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics, 1988, a plea to say what matters before it's too late. Leader of the Band by Dan Fogelberg, 1981, a son's tribute to a father who gave him music, even if he didn't give him everything. And a couple from the incomparable Ian Hunter, Ships by Ian Hunter, 1979, and No Hard Feelings. These are rock ballads that sound so tender they might have been a bruise, a son adrift, reaching for a father he can't quite touch. Ships was covered by Barry Manilow, specifically as a tribute to the loss of his late father. These two songs of Hunter document first the pain of ships that pass in the night, and then the reconciliation, No Hard Feelings. In conclusion, they're the soundtrack to a million unwritten memoirs, and they permit us to feel the weight of what was and what might have been.
Cemetery, can we linger on the son adrift, Ian Hunter, for a moment?
Hunter is a son adrift in the song Ships, which is a beating heart of this episode. Hunter, the former frontman of Mötley Crüe, wrote it earlier in his career, but it feels timeless, like it could have been scratched into a cave wall. He once described his father as a stranger he could never quite reach, a man who lived in the same world but was a ship that passed in the night. He was a harsh man who bore a rebellious son. Hunter sings of the distance between them. And it seems you and I are like strangers awide, ways apart as we drift on through time. He said it's harder now that you're far away. We only read you when you write. This is a funeral sermon for a living man. When Hunter sings that, you hear the weight of a million sons who tried to love their dads through clenched fists and unsent letters. You feel the daughters who stood at the edge of their fathers' lives, waiting for an invitation that never came. It's not just a lyric, it's a wound, and it's universal, because who hasn't felt that distance, that longing to bridge the gap? But Hunter's story doesn't end with Ships. In his later solo work, especially albums like Fingers Crossed, you hear a shift. The rage and grief of youth soften into something like acceptance. In one of his newer songs, No Hard Feelings, he lives in the echo of his father making a man out of a young boy, Ian. With his guitar gently strumming and singing No Hard Feelings, Hunter forgives his dad for all the pain he caused when he boxed his ears. It's the sound of a man who stopped blaming his father and started seeing him as a human, flawed, damaged, and trying. Most importantly, forgiven. That journey from estrangement to empathy is the emotional map of this episode. Ships is the ache, No Hard Feelings is the balm. It's a reminder that fathers aren't gods or villains. They're just men, carrying their wounds, their silences. And when we see that, something shifts. In conclusion, we don't just forgive them, we start to forgive ourselves.
Definitely forgive ourselves as well. To name another example of a difficult father-son relationship, did not Johnny Cash have a difficult time as well, Mr. Mick?
Johnny Cash carried his father like a shadow across his life. His dad, Ray Cash, was a cotton farmer, tough as nails and not known for softness. When Johnny's older brother, Jack, died in a sawmill accident at 15, Ray allegedly turned to Johnny and said, "It should have been you." True or not, that story bled into every note Johnny sang. Listen to "Give My Love to Rose" or "Folsom Prison Blues," and they all carry the whisper of that wound. "Give My Love to Rose" tells the story of a prisoner who has not seen his family for 10 years and the day he was released from prison. The song tells the story of a dying man who has just been released from prison after 10 long years. The lyrics relate, "Tell my boy that daddy's so proud of him." A father's condemnation internalized becomes a kind of lifelong confession. Cash's voice, rough as gravel, always chasing redemption, whether he was singing about prison, love, or God. By the time he recorded Hurt in 2002, covering Trent Reznor's raw lament, Cash wasn't just singing, he was confessing everything. His voice cracked like old wood, carrying the weight of being a son, a father, a failure, a survivor. He'd become all the roles at once, the wounded boy, the flawed dad, the ghost seeking absolution. There's something Christ-like in that, taking on the pain, the roles, the love, offered too late and just in time. Cash's life was messy, loud, and broken, but he never stopped reaching for grace. In conclusion, and that's the hope for all of us as fathers, the shadow of a father's failure doesn't have to define the song we sing.
Mr. Mick, what does the Bible say and does not say?
Let's pivot to the ancient, because the Bible has a lot to say about fathers, and a lot it leaves unsaid. Scripture is full of fathers, but they're rarely simple heroes. Abraham, the father of many nations, nearly sacrifices his son Isaac on a mountain. David, the man after God's own heart, is a disaster as a dad. He neglects and lets Absalom spiral into rebellion, and it costs him everything. Eli, the high priest, can't control his sons, and their corruption brings down his house. Then there's Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus. He's quiet, steady, a carpenter who steps into the divine role without fanfare. He's barely mentioned in the Gospels, yet his presence is foundational, faithful, protective, and silent in the best way. In Hebrew, the understanding of a father is fundamentally the strength of the house, the one who provides stability, protection, and spiritual foundation for the family, introducing God's presence into the home. This goes beyond just biological paternity to encompass leadership, provision, and spiritual guidance within the household structure. To be a father is to carry another's future in your choices, to hunger for their good. But Scripture is brutally honest about how often fathers fail. Isaac repeats Abraham's favoritism, playing favorites with Esau over Jacob. Jacob, in turn, favors Joseph, sowing dysfunction that ripples for generations. Yet there's grace in that failure. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 isn't just about the runaway. It's about the father who waits, who runs to meet his son while he's still a long way off. That's divine fatherhood, not perfection, not power, but presence. It's the standard we're all measured against, and hope we're all offered. Biblical fatherhood isn't about domination or bravado. It's about blessing. It's about showing up, even when you don't have the words. In conclusion, and when fathers fall short, as they often do, Scripture points to a father who never does, a God who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you."
Indeed. So, Mr. Mick, what is a father wound in modern culture?
The wound isn't just personal, it's cultural. Look at the stories we tell. In Star Wars, Luke Skywalker's journey is as much about redeeming his father, Darth Vader, as it is about saving the galaxy. In The Lion King, Simba wrestles with Mufasa's death and his guilt, trying to live up to a legacy he barely understands. Even in Field of Dreams, the whole story hinges on a son playing catch with his dad's ghost. healing a rift he didn't know he carried. These stories resonate because the father wound is universal. In the 1960s, the counterculture, think Woodstock, think Dylan, rebelled against the stoic, silent fathers of the post-war era. But rebellion didn't heal the ache. It just gave it a louder soundtrack. By the 1980s, songs like The Living Years were pleading for reconciliation, urging us to say what matters before it's too late. Today, the wound shows up on X posts and TikTok rants, kids sharing stories of dads who left, dads who stayed but never spoke, dads who tried but missed the mark. A 2023 study from the National Institute of Health found that 1 in 4 Americans adults report strained or absent relationships with their fathers, correlating with higher rates of anxiety and depression. Goodness, just visit any family court or juvenile detention center, and you will see the obvious results of fathers who are not in the home. In conclusion, the data in our eyes back up what the songs have been saying for decades. We're starving for fathers who see us, know us, bless us, or are simply present.
So, Mr. Mick, what are the lessons for writers, sons, and daughters as storytellers and truth tellers?
We use it. Don't shy away from the father themes in your work. Whether you're writing a novel, a blog post, or a Substack essay, go toward the complicated characters. Write the father you needed, the one you feared, or the one you finally forgave. Use what I call emotional scaffolding, these classic songs, to hang your story on something bigger than yourself. Quote ships when you write about distance, lean on father and son for the tension of generational misunderstanding, pull from Color Him Father to celebrate the man who chose to love. Let the music do some of the heavy lifting, connecting your story to a shared cultural memory. Because here's the truth. Most of your audience carries a father wound. They may not talk about it at the coffee shop or post it on X, but they feel it. And when you, the writer, go first, when you name the silence, the ache, the hope, you permit them to feel it too. In conclusion, the story is the vehicle, music is the key, and honesty is the fuel.
Definitely, the music is the key. Mr. Mink, what other songs capture fatherhood?
Fatherhood lives in the quiet corners of old songs, the ones that catch you off guard when you're driving alone, thinking about your old man or the kind of father you've tried to be. The music, mostly from the 50s to the 70s, didn't always say dad, but it showed him in pride, absence, and heartache. Take Bobby Goldsboro, Watching Scotty Grow. It's simple, sweet, a dad soaking in the ordinary magic of his son, just being a kid. It's the kind of song that reminds you that fatherhood isn't fireworks. It's lunchboxes, bedtime stories, muddy shoes, and the grin you can't hide when your kid finally gets the hang of something. For country, try A Boy Named Sue, A Spiritual Cousin, That's My Job by Conway Twitty. Released later, not until 1987, but written in the same spirit. It's a son learning what his father meant through action, not sentiment. A powerful late-night kind of country honesty. Then there's a remarkably touching sentiment of I Still Can't Say Goodbye by Merle Haggard. He relates, when I was young, my dad would say, come on, son, let's go out and play. Seems like only yesterday. Haggard's 2005 Chicago Wind album dedicates this song filled with memories of his dad inviting him to go out and play when he was young, reflecting on those childhood moments and the difficulty of saying goodbye after his father's passing. Father songs capture those complex relationships and the weight of loss. Haggard had a particularly complicated relationship with his father, who died when Merle was young, which makes this song especially poignant in his catalog. When Harry Chapin released Cats in the Cradle in 1974, he gave us what I believe is one of the most piercing warnings in popular music, that we teach our children even when we're not trying to. The song tells the story of a father who's too busy for his son, and how that same son grows up to mirror the very man he longed to know. You probably know the punchline, the son becomes the father. The cycle repeats, and no one means it for it to happen. But that's what makes this song so powerful. It's not just a ballad, it's a mirror. The father in the song isn't a bad guy. He's providing, building a future, doing the grind so his kid can have it better. And yet, it's the grind that robs them of what matters. The song hits especially hard in today's world, where hustle culture, side gigs, and hyper-connectivity make us present everywhere except for our children, where we're most needed. The unspoken lesson? Children learn more from what we prioritize than from what we preach. If you say family comes first, but your calendar says otherwise, guess which one they'll believe. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what Jesus said, not just about money, but about time, attention, presence. We leave footprints in the souls of our kids every day, whether we mean to or not. And if we're not careful, we can raise children who grow up longing for our attention and then go on to withhold theirs from their own. Cats in the Cradle is a cautionary tale, but not a hopeless one. If you're a father listening right now and you see yourself in that song, it's not too late. Pick up the phone, show up to the game, cancel the meeting, invite your kid into your day, even the boring parts. Because even if you didn't grow up with that kind of attention, you get to break the pattern. You get to choose a different chord. There's something timeless about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Teach Your Children. It feels less like a protest song and more like a plea to pass on wisdom, but to do it with humility, to teach what we know, to be open to learning from the next generation. There's a line in the song that speaks to this two-way wisdom. The message is this: children need your guidance, yes, but fathers need their children too. This is counterculture in a world that idolizes the hippie-made man, the cool dad, the party dad, the wandering-eye dad. But scripturally and psychologically, we know that reciprocal love is where real transformation happens. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's not a command to dominate, it's a call to nurture. To teach, yes, but also to listen. When you sit with your child and hear them, whether you're 6 or they're 26, you're not giving up authority, you're deepening trust. Teach Your Children reminds us that parenting isn't a one-time performance. It's a lifelong duet, and sometimes your child's voice will carry wisdom you need to hear. I've spoken to fathers who say they didn't know how to be emotionally open until their kids cracked them open. They'd grown up with rules, not relationships, commands, not connection. And so the lesson they choose to pass on was something they never got themselves, emotional availability. That's brave. That's powerful. That's where real generational change looks like. If Cats in the Cradle says, pay attention or you'll teach the wrong things, then Teach Your Children says, be intentional, teach love, teach listening, and don't be afraid to learn, too. That's how values last. That's how fathers become bridges, not barriers. When Luther Vandross recorded Dance with My Father, it was a deeply personal tribute to the man who shaped him and whose absence left a permanent ache. What makes this song resonate so widely is its vulnerability. It's not about regrets over missed ball games or lessons left untaught. It's about moments. A dance, a laugh, a bedtime routine. The little things that build a fortress of memory strong enough to outlast grief. And it teaches us this. Sometimes the most powerful lessons fathers leave behind aren't spoken or planned. They are lived. Your children may not remember the lecture about honesty, but they'll remember how you responded when you messed up. They may not remember your opinions, but they'll never forget how you made them feel, especially in their most tender, fearful moments. In the Old Testament, fathers were instructed to impress God's commandments on their children. Not just during prayer, but when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's a beautiful image of fatherhood as rhythm, as routine, as presence. Vandross sings not as a perfect son, but as one who has loved deeply, who misses deeply, and who would give anything for one more ordinary moment. The lesson here? Don't underestimate the quiet rituals, the way you tie your shoes, the tone of your voice when you say goodnight, the song you play on the radio during a Saturday drive. These are the things your children will reach for when you're gone. Make them worthy of remembering. So what do these three songs, so different in tone, have in common? They each remind us that fatherhood isn't just about guidance. It's about legacy. Sometimes we teach by accident. Sometimes we teach with care. And sometimes we teach by the way we love and are loved in return. Whether you're a father, a son, a daughter, or someone carrying wounds from what wasn't passed down, you have the power today to start a new verse in your father's song. Because legacies aren't just inherited, they're built moment by moment, word by word, song by song. Thank you for listening. If this moves something in you, reach out to your father or your child, as I do, and share a song that means something to you. Not because it's perfect, but because it's yours. And remember, you don't need to be a perfect father to leave something beautiful behind with a beautiful song. And finally, dedicated to my daughter, the Mills Brothers, Daddy's Little Girl. That song, it's warm apple pie in four-part harmony. Pure Affection, our barbershop quartet blend that sings like the best parts of memory. Put them all together, and you've got a picture of fatherhood, not as performance, but as presence. In conclusion, imperfect, echoing, unforgettable.
Very well said, Mr. Mink. Inherited Melodies, a Father's Day playlist for men who shape our world, celebrates the fathers, grandfathers, mentors, and father figures whose wisdom, sacrifice, and unwavering presence leave a lasting imprint in our lives. So, Mr. Mink, would you like to plug in something?
I appreciate the opportunity. Write the book, Grow the Business. Connect with me on LinkedIn. GMIC, the Dr. Digital Smith, PhD. Listen to the Dr. Digital podcast. Pick up a couple volumes I have on Amazon. That's Burning America and also On Track Ian Hunter. And if you love music, support True Fans.
Indeed. People, please do follow us because Mr. Mink and I doing 4 podcasts in a row under the Universal Podcast Network. Please visit our official website, www.universalpodcast.net, where can you see our 22 podcasts that we're doing every week. So, Mr. Mink, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Till next time, Deus Vault.
Morning, people. See you soon.